test.
All right, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let me formally declare this meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel open. In doing so, on behalf of the Council, I acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation on whose country we are meeting today, their elders past and present. Next item is declarations of interest, and there are none. In commencing these meetings, it's usual for us to introduce ourselves. And we will do that in turn. I'm David Lloyd. In addition to chairing this panel, I chair a number of other panels. I'm a lawyer, I'm a QC, I'm a former judge of the Land and Environment Court, I'm a former acting judge of the Supreme Court, I am presently a professor of law at Western Sydney University. Mr. Hawke.
My name's Ken Hawke. I'm the community representative on the panel. I've lived in the Inner West for over 45 years, and I have a 35-year career in local government planning, and I ended my career as the Director of Planning and Environmental Services at Marrickville Council.
Mr. Johnson.
My name's David Johnson. I'm an environmental scientist. I've been an environmental consultant for much of my career. I've also been I'm a former member of the Planning Assessment Commission, now the Independent Planning Commission, a former acting commissioner in the Land and Environment Court, and I'm also a member of two other local planning panels. Is that better? Maybe I need to speak a little bit closer.
And my name is John McInerney. I'm an architect and town planner, and previously the Deputy Lord Mayor at the City of Sydney.
All right, with that we can move straight on to the agenda. Item one is the proposed modification of a development consent at Dawn Fraser Baths in Balmain. This has been referred to the panel because it's the Council's own application, so it has to be determined by an independent panel. The modification seeks the deletion of a condition which was inadvertently included in the original consent. The panel unanimously adopts the recommendation that that condition be deleted, and that is all we have to do with that matter. Item number two is an application in relation to 33 Whites Creek Lane, Leichhardt. That application has been deleted from the agenda. Item number three is 3 James Lane, Balmain East. These are alterations and additions to a heritage item at 3 James Lane, Balmain East. We inspected the site of this earlier in the day. In fact, we inspected all the sites earlier in the day. And we have some questions from the panel in relation to what is proposed here. In particular, we wish to speak to the heritage engineer, Mr. Bladen, is it? Or Mr. Bloomer? Could you come forward, please, Mr. Bloomer? Please take a seat there. You'll have to turn on the mic in front of you. And the panel members have some questions of you in relation to your report. Mr. McInerney.
Yes. Mr. Bloomer, thank you for your presence. We have a letter from you, or a submission from you, dated August of this year, outline the technical requirements for the retention or for the construction of what is described as the basement. You're aware of this letter and what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about the plans that were submitted with the document?
I'm talking about your report, which not only justifies but claims that there will be no structural issues resulting from the construction of, let us call it, the basement. Have you had a chance to look at the council officer's report? Yes. So what is before the panel then is the question whether the council officer's report, which in fact calls for the deletion of that basement on the basis of the possible structural challenge or risk to the walls above, you claim that the basement will not cause such a risk. Could you elaborate a little on that? Is your mic turned on there? Press the button.
It's gone off. Okay. So I've had over 20 years of experience in often residential developments, often involving alterations and additions, and I've done a lot of work with underpinning, which involves an existing building sitting at a certain level, and you need to dig down underneath that in order to lower the level on one or both sides of that existing building. And so it's a staged process where you do, instead of taking out a whole number of metres of ground underneath the footing where it would obviously fall down, you do it in a small segment, and then you miss a couple of segments and you do another one, and the existing footing spans over that, and then you come back in and infill it sequentially. So it's a very regular process. It's done throughout the world. It's done often. I've done many, many projects like this, and I've done it in a range of strengths of existing building, including very poor buildings with very poor footings. So often the existing masonry will be eroded by salt or whatever, and either or both the bricks and the mortar in between them can be in a very pileous state. And then sometimes the footing is also in a pileous state where it's just rubble held together loosely by a bit of rubbish mortar. In this case here, we have a construction of the walls, which is very rare. It's a brick nog wall where you have timber stud frame and it's been infilled with brickwork. So it's a very rare case. You don't see it very often. But it's certainly no more fragile than a poorly constructed or badly eroded brick, pure brick wall. I would say it's in much better condition and more able to withstand underpinning than many of the walls that I've had underpinning associated with. And in this case here, the footing itself is a deep subfloor wall made out of large sandstone blocks, which is inherently very well constructed and inherently a strong structure to do spanning. It's big blocks, and you can carefully choose where you do the slots for making the underpinning segments, and you can choose the width of those slots. And so inherently I've got no qualms about saying this could be done with negligible risk to the wall above. And coupled with that, the builder I've worked with over 10 years or so at least, and he's a responsible conservative builder. We met on site, we ran through it, no one had any particular issues about doing the work. It's got good access from both sides. I've got no problems recommending that it can be done with negligible risk.
Just a quick last question. I presume you'll be involved in the process of construction and maintaining supervision over the process itself?
So the process is I've given drawings that show how it is to be done. It's not a complex procedure, and the builder is entirely aware of how to do it. I don't need to give him any further information during the construction. Once it's done, I will inspect it to see that it's been done correctly, but I've got no problems assuming that it would be done correctly because it's not complex.
Thank you. Do any panel members have any questions? No? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll just talk about this amongst ourselves for a minute. We notice that a number of others on behalf of the applicant wish to speak. I can indicate that the panel is minded to approve this application and it's not necessary to hear any further from you. Mr. McInerney will announce the decision.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Given the evidence that we've just heard, we're minded to allow the construction of the basement. That implies, and we are aware of this through the officer's report, it implies, And I can be corrected here from the engineer, but we believe it requires the basement to allow for a pumped-out drainage system, which means that one of the other conditions of that were recommended by the officers would have to be changed. So perhaps we could have those proposed conditions on the screen. Mr. Chairman, I can read it out quickly. The panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report and resolves that the application be approved as per the recommendation contained in that report, subject to the following changes. Delete condition 3BA, subject to the recommendation of the report prepared. Prepared by the council officers, perhaps. And that condition 3BA is the one which required the removal of the basement, and also to modify condition 10B to allow for a pump-out system to be used solely for the basement. And both of those conditions work together to allow for the application to proceed as I've described it. And Mr. Chairman, that is would be my recommendation in a sense.
The decision of the panel is, I think, unanimous, so we don't need to vote. There is one error in the recommendation. It refers to section 4.16. This is a modification application under section 4.55, so that the recommendation contains a reference to the wrong section number. See, it says it should be section 4.55.
Yes, completely correct. After the word approved here in the decision of the panel, would you like the words subject approved under section 4.55 of the Act rather than?
Yes, approved. After the words approved, add under section 4.55 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act. This is a technical correction. And that is the decision of the panel, and thank you for your attendance. And with that, we can move on to item number 4. This relates to 3 and 3A Carey Street, Leichhardt, alterations and additions to an existing building. I think I'll hand over to I see someone is here from that property. Miss Wherry and Mr. Norman. Are you here? I'll ask Mr. Hawke to just speak for a few minutes and see if you want to respond. Mr. Hawke.
Thank you.
Oh, here he is.
Thank you. This is an application for alterations in addition to an existing building, removal and replacement of the existing car park, and undertake fencing works. The application does not comply with floor space ratio, landscape, or site coverage standards. However, a clause 4.6 have been submitted, and the panel feels that they've been substantiated. The officers have put forward a proposal that a proposed deck area be removed to allow for an additional 5.5 square metres of landscaping. However, on visiting the property this morning, the panel considered that this would actually not be a good outcome for the amenity of the living space, and proposes to delete condition 4B, which requires that. Under those circumstances, would Did you want to add anything to... Okay, in that case, I think unanimously we recommend the adopt the recommendation outlined on page 175 to approve of it, of the application, with the deletion of condition 4B.
All right, are you happy with that? You're happy with that? All right. Well, that's the unanimous determination of the panel.
Yes.
No need to take a vote. Thank you very much. So we can now move on to the development application in relation to 96 Illawarra Road, Marrickville. This is the former Marrickville Town Hall. We have two speakers registered to speak on this matter, Mr. Meldrum and Kay Cotis. Mr. Meldrum, please come forward. For the record, your name and address, please.
I beg your pardon?
For the record, your name and address, please.
My name is who?
I want your name and address for the record.
Yeah.
What is it?
Peter Michael Meldrum.
Address?
Unit 2296 to 106 Illawarra Road, Marrickville.
Thank you. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Oh, it's gone down already, look. All right, these
people... starts now.
All right.
Right.
These people want to extend their hours, right? These people have been fined by the local council for running an illegal restaurant, an illegal licensed restaurant. And the licensing police, New South Wales licensing police, they have also fined them for running an unlicensed restaurant. They fined them twice. I've got the email here if you want to have a look. They go over their hours many times. They're supposed to go till Monday to Friday, 9 in the morning till 8 at night. Many nights they're there, 12, when they had the restaurant, right? When they had the restaurant, 12. Since the restaurant's been closed, they have been open to the public once in 19 months. Once in 19 months to the public. But they still come at 6 o'clock and leave at 10 for their little social gatherings. Now... they've had unauthorised work, and we all know this building is a heritage building. They have never put in one DA for work on the building. Not once. They have never got permission off the heritage building. They have put in... here we go. They have put in kitchen stoves after the kitchen was finished for a restaurant without any approval from council or heritage. Fencing 120 feet by 7 feet with 18 steel poles, no authorisation, 4 air conditioning units, TV antennas, TV dish, iron bars on window, woodwork for vine. Now they've put a lift in there. I don't know if they had a DA or approval from the Heritage Council. Fridges. Oh, they've got an espresso machine in there too. Now, this is a council paper from a meeting. It says here, the identification above, that was when they got fined. The most recent approval use of the premises was determination number 15719, dated 18th of November 1994. That's the last time a DA went in. The next paragraph, the subject property is zoned R2, low density residential, and food and drink premises are prohibited under the zoning provisions of the land. I got more. If I can find it. Sorry. Where is it? Must be over here. Now, when the police find them, they told me that these people who own this business or run this business are going to be on the every computer in New South Wales as lawbreakers. So I don't know how you could extend their hours. They bust their hours now. You know, it's just ridiculous. There's something else I've got, but I've lost it. I've got too many pages. Hold on, I know I'm running out of time. And a Graham Baum from the Heritage, I've got emails from him It says here, one of them, I have trouble with council not responding for requests for information. He wanted to go and visit the building. But there's another important one. Now, here it is. Now, on page two, sorry. Council paper. The machine, when they took over, the machinery to be installed on the premises being restricted to photocopiers, computers and telephones. Well, they've got lifts. They've got everything in the place.
That's your 3 minutes, I'm afraid.
I beg your pardon?
That's your 3 minutes.
Yeah, this has been going for 3 years, you know. You only get 3 minutes. It's,
well,
I'm sorry, but it's not fair.
The rules under which this meeting is conducted is that you are allowed 3 minutes.
You can't get an extension?
No.
All right, what do I do? Sit down now?
Yes.
Disappointing. Very disappointing. They've done more. Very disappointing.
I should perhaps remind everyone that this meeting is conducted under certain rules, and we impose a 3-minute time limit for objectors to speak. That is the advertised conditions under which this public meeting is conducted.
3 years, you get 3 minutes.
All right. As I said, we visited the site earlier in the day. I should say something about what Mr. Meldrum has said. The court tells us that past indiscretions are not a relative consideration. This application is prospective, not retrospective. So we can only consider what is proposed, not what has occurred in the past. That's what the court tells us. The report includes an assessment by a recognised acoustical engineer, Renzo Tonin, who has recommended that certain measures be adopted to alleviate any acoustical impact. Treatment of the windows, treatment of the fence, to ameliorate any impact upon the neighbouring property. The panel is satisfied with that. The development has to comply with the relevant provisions of the Protection of the Environment Operations Act, the New South Wales Environment Protection Authority's Noise Policy and Noise Control Manual, and the conditions of this approval. The panel is unanimously, I have to say, minded to approve this application because, as I said, it's prospective, not retrospective, and is prepared to agree to the nominated hours of operation. Under those circumstances, I don't think it's necessary to hear from the applicant because we are prepared to grant consent subject to these rather strict conditions, I must say. So if you're happy with that,
we are happy with that,
then that is the unanimous determination of the panel. Consent is granted under section 4.551A of the Act to the modification of this development in accordance with the recommended conditions. And that is the unanimous determination of the panel, subject to the deletion of proposed condition 5(2), which is not required. Panel agreed, so it's not necessary to take a vote. And with that, we can move on to
the numbers. Is the numbers as well?
Oh, yes. There's a condition restricting the numbers allowed in the interior of the building to 90. You're happy with that?
Sorry, second.
90 people is the maximum number.
120.
No. The acoustic.
Interior.
To the interior.
The interior.
Sorry.
To the interior.
Yes.
The numbers that you are restricted to is 90. And that is the basis upon which the acoustical report was made.
So
30 exterior, 90 interior. Total 120.
90 inside and 30 outside, total 120. Yes, 90 inside and 30 outside.
The number of patients using the external area is restricted to 30 persons at any time.
Yeah. Okay. We're changing that to 90. It should not have said 120.
It's a mistake.
It is clarified. The acoustical report was based on 90 people inside.
The wording is quite ambiguous. I'm sorry, the panel is quite ambiguous because it says, what happens after 8 p.m.?
After 8 p.m., outside, you cannot have anyone outside after 8 p.m.
That's
right. Yes.
What happens with that 30?
You are restricted to 90 people inside. That is the basis upon which the acoustical assessment was made. And we can't change that.
That was an error. That should have read 90 in allowed
well,
inside.
I'm sorry. I am going according to this, and it says the number of patrons using the interior community centre is restricted to 120 persons at any time. And that's coming from 9C.
We have changed it to 90 because that's the basis on which the acoustical assessment was made.
What can I say?
Rely upon the acoustical report that you have supplied.
Yes.
And it's based on 90.
Is that what the report
says? That's what it says.
Okay.
You supplied the report.
No, it's just that here it says,
We've changed it to 90.
Yeah, okay.
That was an error. It shouldn't have said.
Okay. Thank you.
You supplied the acoustical report, we've adopted it, and it's based on 90.
Right. Thank you.
All right, and that's the decision, and that is unanimous.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Next, we come to 829A to 837 New Canterbury Road, Dulwich Hill. Anyone here for that? No. Yes, there is. Is someone interested in that? You're interested in that? The panel is minded to approve this. Are you happy with the proposed conditions?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Again, the decision of the panel...
This is item 6 we're dealing with now.
Item 6 we're on. New Canterbury Road, Dulwich Hill. The panel is of the unanimous opinion that this application can be approved subject to the recommended conditions. The applicant is happy with the conditions? Okay, then that's the unanimous determination. They are the first 6 items. We'll have to take a short adjournment while we pick up our papers for the remaining seven items.
Remaining five.
Yep. So we'll take a short adjournment and come back with our papers for the next lot.
10 minutes.
Pen.
Thank you. water.
All right, we can resume now. Item number 7 is the mixed-use building at 14 Dudley Street, Marrickville. There is no one, I think, registered to speak on that matter. There are two people. Where are the people for Dudley Street? Not here.
The applicant?
Not here. The panel is again unanimous. We have decided to adopt the recommendation to approve this development without amendment in accordance with the recommended conditions. So that's no changes there. So we can now go on to item 8. This is Kennards. Again, let's see who wants to speak on this one. Only the applicant.
Yep, only the applicant.
Only the applicant. No objectors. We are prepared to approve this application also. There is an amended condition relating to the monetary contribution under the former Section 94, which reduces the amount required. Have you seen that amended condition? A figure.
Open the box.
I think you'll be happy because you don't have to pay so much. What's the problem? You've seen the amended condition, have you? Yeah. So you're happy with that?
Yeah, we'd be happy with that. Thank you.
All right. Then the decision of the panel is unanimous. We are prepared to adopt the recommendation amending condition 1 to the amount shown on the screen there. All right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We can now move on to item number 9. This is the Huntsbury Hotel in New Canterbury Road, Lewisham. Let's see who wants to speak here.
There's one objector, Kate
McLaughlin. Now, please come forward. For the record, your name and address, please.
For the record, my name is Miss Kate McLaughlin. I'm an owner of number 51 Hunter Street, Lewisham.
Where is that in relation to this property?
It's across the road.
Okay, good. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Thank you very much, and thank you to the panel for taking the time to hear the residents' concerns. I've spoken to 8 of my neighbours in the past couple of days. I believe Luke's drawn your attention to the map on the front page of the report not accurately reflecting the number of concerns. And so then I just thought I wanted to briefly take you through the 2 main issues we have concerns with, which are parking and amenity management. So looking at the conclusion, firstly, on page 646, it suggests that the authors of this report weren't in the correspondence conveying with the applicant fully the concerns of residents around the primary issue, which is around parking and congestion. Secondly, on page 668, it concludes that the proposal is consistent with principles 13 and 16 regarding preserving residential amenity and efficient and viable and safe parking under the DCP. Our contention is that this does not seem a robust conclusion. So looking at the application as I understand it, it's coming just under the bare minimum of parking requirements for shop-top residential parking, but looking... the way we see this is it doesn't fully capture the totality of the project and of application to the existing conditions in the area. So I believe you were there this morning and it is a quite relatively quiet time of day. I'm not sure if you saw there was a large truck parked in the driveway where they tend to, of another residence, where they tend to deliver produce and things for the pub because of parking issues. But the more broad issue is that since the other units have been developed and the other retail space in the areas, and also, I'm not sure if you would call it commercial space, of the two smash repairs, there's actually a heavy demand on parking in the area. And so the current patronage of the pub on a given evening is around 10 to 30 people on a busy night. And as I understand the application, they're hoping to increase that to a lively 500 people capacity with zero parking for the retail, or I'm not sure if you classify a pub as retail or commercial place. So that's our number one concern. And in particular, if it's going to be closing at midnight, I checked the time of public transport. There's one train around might be 5 or 10 past midnight, which you'd be having to bolt to make. So I don't know how those 500 people are going to get home. The light rail's closed at that time. Obviously, Uber's an option, but it's already quite limited. You know, I'm an economist. I'm pro-development. We want to see lively commercial space there. But a pub of 500 with zero parking for it really seems not to provide for that. We're already having, because there's so limited parking on New Canterbury Road, Livingston Street and Audley Road, limited space for Uber drivers to park for delivering. So just quickly, because I've only got 10 seconds on the audibility and noise management, this seems to already be a significant problem. My concern is it's going to put a large burden on council to manage it, and I've spoken with them a lot and they're struggling to manage the current complaints with it, which I'm not saying is past behaviour, but they say that they can't bring compliance even if they have the right regulations for either the parking or amenity issues. Anyway, I'm out of time. Sorry, I spoke very fast.
You did well.
Thank you. Thank you for your time and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Now, do anyone want to speak to the architect or someone?
I think the applicants want to speak about the... I think the applicants want to speak about the
conditions. All right. There are some representatives from the applicant here, I think. Are there representatives from the applicant here?
Yes.
Would you come forward, please? Have you seen the proposed conditions of consent? All right. I can tell you we are generally in favour of this, but you wish to dispute some of the conditions.
Yeah, I wish to just add some more to it and just dispute. Well, there's some errors as well in the conditions. There's some reference to incorrect street names, but there's a couple of other issues, particularly one thing that we've looked at is the trial period. So the current hotel has a capacity for 500 people. We're not proposing to change that. The current hours go to 12 midnight. So, and we are not aware of any noise complaints that have been made since the current licensee took over. So there's been no noise issues associated with the current operation of the hotel. So we just asked the panel to reconsider whether a trial period is actually required. In terms of the parking, there is a condition...
All right, before you go, you have more to say?
No, that's...
Don't go away just yet. Mr. Hawke, do you want to ask any questions? Firstly, a trial period.
Yeah, we're extending that to 18.
Yeah. We've considered your minute that we've come up with, you put in. With regards to the trial period, the panel considers that the trial has to go ahead. We actually want to make it longer than proposed by the officers. We're proposing 18 months. This will give an opportunity for 12 straight months, a whole year of activity. We're also suggesting changes to the plan of management to include a system of dealing with complaints and a phone number to actually for complainants to get a response to whilst the place is in operation. With regards to the patron numbers in the outdoor gaming room, look, the acoustic report doesn't actually support that at the moment, and we suggest that if you do have that evidence, you'll have to submit that as a Section 96. We didn't feel like we had the information to allow that. So if you want to go ahead with that, you'll have to do it through a Section 96. With regards to the conflicting conditions, our advice is that they're both capable of being complied with, and so we are minded to leave that condition as it is. This is the louvers.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have advice that we can't comply with. Once the louvers are there, we can't comply with the Australian standards.
Well, we have conflicting advice from, yeah. With regards to the Western Wall, we agree to the deletion of Condition 6A. We are also minded to make the concession with regards to the parking spot. And with regards to the incorrect streets, obviously, they were actually conditions put on by the RMS. So if we need a change to those, you actually need to make... We cannot change those, so you'll have to go to the RMS. And with regards to the ones where the condition 68, we will change that to New Canterbury Road and Hunter Road, Hunter Street. Okay.
Thank you.
Can I just... So, does that include the... John, does that...
Yeah,
include,
that's all.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
Thank
you. All right. You're going to announce it?
Okay.
Yeah.
The panel unanimously accepts the recommendation on page 673 of the agenda, subject to the changes outlined on the screen.
I can announce that there's now the formal decision of the panel, and it is unanimous. And thank you for your attendance. So I can now move on to item number 10. Item number 10 is the proposed childcare centre at 6 Ivanhoe Street, Marrickville. We have two objectors who wish to speak. Mr Gill, not here. We saw Mr Gill earlier this morning. Mr Covington, Is he here? No, not here. I don't think we need to hear from you, Mr. Delapierre.
They would be here by now.
They should be. It's 3 o'clock.
They should be here by now.
Okay. All right. The decision of the panel is to adopt the recommendation. Are you happy with the conditions?
We are.
All right. The adoption of the recommendation includes approval subject to the recommended conditions. Thank you very much. All right. Now we move to item 11, John Street, Leichhardt. This is a recommendation for refusal. Under those circumstances, it's appropriate to hear from the applicant first. So, is anyone here representing the applicant? Please come forward.
I'm not pre-registered. My name is Stuart Gordon. I'm from SJ Bustan, and I'm here on behalf of the applicant.
Come forward, please. You know, this is a recommendation for a refusal. We were there earlier in the day and we visited the homes of some of the objectors. Mr. Johnson is an environmental scientist and he has some concerns with your contamination report. Mr. Johnson.
Sorry, can you hear me? I did make a point of looking through the site contamination investigation report by Douglas Partners. It's referred to in the officer's report here in the agenda. I note that that was based on some research, historical research, and some site sampling that was carried out in 2017. The report's dated March 2018. I understand from the introduction into that report that it was really prepared for due diligence purposes rather than to accompany a development application. Having said that, it did not find anything of significant concern in terms of contamination on the site, but I am concerned that we still have the possibility of an underground storage tank there, and some hydrocarbon odour was detected during the fieldwork. And some elevated hydrocarbon levels. I think that really the investigation report that should accompany a DA or something of this nature should be a little bit more detailed and get to the bottom of that issue rather than just leaving it as the proposal is to be the subject of a unexpected fines protocol, which is sure often adopted, but that is normally applied in situations where there's a high level of confidence that you won't find anything. So it's just to cover a contingency in case something does crop up. But where there's a bit of a lack of detail in terms of the site investigation, together with the possibility suggested by ground-penetrating radar and historical stuff that there is an underground tank somewhere there, together with the hydrocarbon odours and levels that were detected, I would expect something a bit more definitive than that. Due diligence report, as it's called. That's actually what it's called, in fact, that report. So, but having said that, that's one issue. The other issue that the panel was concerned about was the issues related to building height and view loss. We did look at three nearby premises and looked at the views of particularly the city skyline, Harbour Bridge and Anzac Bridge from those properties, and we concur with the report in front of us here that view loss caused by the building height proposed is unacceptable. So for those reasons, the panel is inclined to go with the recommendation for refusal. But if you would like to speak, please do so.
Thank you. I understand what you're saying about the site contamination issue. If I might explain, the applicant was of the view at the time that engaging the accredited site auditor was sort of a short circuit to perhaps doing a further core testing on the site, and that's why we'd put forward the site auditor's report or peer review of that due diligence report. Since then, and only recently, the applicant has engaged Douglas Partners to carry out further testing to in and around that anomaly in the I think it's the north eastern corner. So that is has been engaged. The applicant has commissioned Douglas Partners to do that, and we would expect that a further site investigation report will be available at the end of January. For council, the panel may be aware that there's another DA in for this site. It's a much smaller DA and relates to driveway entry on John Street. In the event that that the owner and applicant continue the use of the building in its existing form, that's to facilitate basically a better use of the existing building in a clearer way. So it's likely that council may raise the same issue in regards to that. So the applicants therefore proceeded to engage Douglas Partners to carry out that additional site contamination reporting. I'd come here to ask for a deferral in that we were seeking to get that contamination report, and I'd come here to also address some of the other issues raised in the report. So I might turn to those quickly if I can. In particular, perhaps there's car parking traffic issues, we understand, and as well as the amenity impacts that you've raised. In terms of the car parking, the applicants, although uncomfortable, is willing to accept council's conditions of consent, which relate to ensuring that the pedestrian access opposite Emma Street is narrowed or bollards put in so that it can clearly not be used for a vehicle entry in the future. The previous version of the DA had that as a vehicle entry, and we know that that caused concern, so that's been deleted, and we're comfortable for that to be confirmed by ways of conditions of consent. The lower entry from Hill Street, which is an existing entry, we believe we've satisfied council's concerns in demonstrating that there is adequate turning circles and sweat paths to be able to enter and leave that facility in a forward direction for small rigid vehicles and medium rigid vehicles without impacting car parking. While we would argue that Hill Street is non-residential or is partially non-residential and residential in nature, having industrial uses along its length, we would also be willing to accept a plan of management condition or a condition of consent which would limit vehicles entering that lower Hill Street entry from John Street via Moore Street, if that was to appease council. In terms of the use of, or potential intensification use of Hill Street. In terms of the view loss analysis, we've attempted to undertake some view loss analysis and were granted access to several properties. Our view loss analysis is stalled slightly due to a function of the group that we commissioned and also our applicant falling ill and undergoing surgery and being out of action for several months. But we had anticipated in being able to present you with some view loss analysis, but it seems that council's done their own anyway, and we've had a look at that. Our argument in that regard would just be that, and we understand that there's a DCP control, not an LEP control, that goes to building wall heights of 6 metres in this location. We would suggest that close to 50% of the building is actually less than that 6 metre wall height, and there are parts that that pop above the 6 metre wall height, but that is the nature of the very steep topography of the site, where obviously we were stepping down, and I think that the building shows that we're stepping down the site, and we'd perhaps be willing to look at a reduction in the height at the eastern end of the building, which is the Hill Street, the John Street end, and we know that that is an end that has taken some views for some of the